Bienvenidos a Menudo los Domingos. El día de hoy estamos hablando con Rubén Chávez, que es mi hermano. And we're going to talk about the school to prison pipeline, which is something that is very close and dear to our hearts. I'm a teacher. Omi Sainde is also an educator.
Hey, y'all.
And my brother is getting ready to go to college. So this is something that is, like I said, very close to our hearts, and we want to address it. And this is the first episode of our podcast. So we thought that this would be a very powerful, powerful way to...
It's powerful.
very powerful way to begin our podcast.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, especially when we consider that the school to prison pipeline is, you know, somewhat of a pandemic that is really personal, I think, in Nevada. Nevada education has historically been not ranked the best, whether we consider that to be a fair or an unfair assessment, depending on your standpoint. But when we think about the school to prison pipeline, what we're talking specifically about is the pushing out of students and how that links them to a life of incarceration, and how that incarceration inhibits them from being able to interact in society, getting jobs, upper mobility, all these things, right? And Nevada has incredibly poor history of high school retention, and that is exacerbated when you look at the statistics around Black and Brown students. Princeton had some folks come out here in like 2012, 2013, I think, and they did a couple of studies around Clark County and the expulsion rate of Black and Brown students, and showed that it was incredibly high as opposed to the rest of the country. Black students were 4 times more likely than their white counterparts to be expelled. Brown students were 3 times more likely to be expelled and suspended. And there is a direct correlation between expulsion, mm-hmm. suspensions, and students being put into the juvenile system, right? So again, very, very personal within the Nevada context, which is why we're going to have Ruben speak on his experience, because I think it's incredibly important to hear a young person hear talk about their experiences with educators, right? I think one of the things we were talking about earlier was my opinion on how loose I think we can get with the definition of the school to prison pipeline. Mm-hmm. If you kind of look it up, sometimes it'll just say, you know, the link of, you know, the pushing out of students with their correlations to them being in the juvenile justice system. And a lot of rhetoric is that it's just because people are not educated, right? Teachers are not educated. There's a disproportionate amount of white folks who are teachers to their students who are not white, right? And not middle class and these things. So it's, I think in a lot of ways we like to say it's a very passive thing. It's vast cultural differences that are leading to these students being pushed out of the classroom. Whereas we might have somebody like Michelle Alexander, who's an attorney, and she wrote on the topic, the school to prison pipeline, and she believed it to be much more insidious. But I think we can get into that a little bit later. I don't know if we want to kind of just jump into Ruben and talking about his story. I think he did most of his schooling in CCSD. I'm not sure if that's accurate. You feel free to let us know.
Yeah, I did.
All right, awesome. Do you want to just kind of like just jump into like what some of your experiences have been like within the CCS school system and how that affected your ability to kind of like navigate through these schools?
Well, I'll say it all started when I was kind of in like elementary school. Mm-hmm. That's when like I had my first experience with like I was old enough to kind of comprehend what was going on and what the teachers were saying. Because I could right my wrongs. I could admit I was a little, you know, out of pocket with these teachers. But still at the end of the day, the days I wouldn't do nothing, there was still that grudge and that tension there. And I always remember when I was inside fourth grade, and my teacher, that's when she told me that I was going to be nothing. Yeah. And I always remember that. And I got to fifth grade. And it just hit me again because the same, I had a different teacher, but she's going to tell me the same thing, but in a different way. When she pretty much just said that I was going to be at McDonald's, and I was just to remember that she don't like pickles on her hamburgers.
Oh,
I was like, okay. All right. So I determined myself I was never going to work at McDonald's. And then after that, I just kept, you know, being, I was angry, you know, like when you.
I mean, justifiably.
Yeah. You know, like when you have a lot of people telling you negative stuff, it's just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I was a child. I didn't really know how to reason so good. So my reasoning was, or you rude to me, so I'm gonna be disrespectful to you.
Right.
You get me? So I understand like where they would come from a little bit, but when you're a grown man and you're holding a grudge, you a child. You get me?
Yeah.
And I feel like that was just my mentality. Like, all right, so all these teachers, they just kind of against me, you know, because a teacher going back up another teacher, either way it go. So if I'm in the wrong and another teacher that wasn't even there, they still going back him up. Like, I remember there was this time when I was in middle school, I got expelled because I had tried to fight a teacher or whatever, right? But it started because the teacher was choking out a kid and there was no cameras around. So I'm over here trying to pull him off, the kid. But then I get expelled for assault and battery on a CCSD employee. But at the end of the day, it's just like, why did I try? It's not like I punched him, you know, I was ripping his hands off the kid, you know, because just like, all right, but what about his wrong, you know? What about him? Like, you going to act like you just wasn't choking a kid? There's a difference between restraining and choking a kid in a headlock, you know? There's a big difference between that. And just like, I go to the dean's office, and I was well known there because I was a pretty bad kid. And who are they going to believe? The man with a whole career or just the kid inside 7th, 8th grade, you feel me? So, I don't know, and it's just kind of like, you know, I was in middle school, it just, they was always doubtful, so I just began not to care, because on my 6th grade year, it was like my worst year, because I cared a little bit at first, but then after a while, like, all the teachers told me, like, you might as well just drop out, like, you know, because I was failing all my classes, and, like, the reason I was failing all my classes is because I wasn't doing my work, you get me? But then that creates the persona of me being a negative person that a lot of people going to frown upon. And when that creates that persona, no matter who they is, where they know you, when you get kicked out of teacher's class, they're going to hear about you. And you don't got to do nothing to them, but just because they heard about you, they're not going to like you. And then when I got to his class, he was telling me, like, oh, I heard about you. I'm not going to tolerate none of your bullshit in my classroom. I'm not one of these other teachers. Like, you know, I'm not about to put up with that shit. I'm like, so I ain't do nothing to you. Like, don't talk to me. Like, I'm one of these kids. And he was getting a little disrespectful. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to let it slide. I'm trying to control my anger. You feel me? Right. Class went on. I noticed he was kind of like always checking what I was doing. You know, like, you got people over there talking, throwing pencil at each other. I'm sitting there listening to music. You come tap me on the shoulder. Kids got their whole phone out. All right, why you on my head? You know, and that built a lot of tension because after a while I got fed up. And I was just like, well, F you this, F you that, talking a lot. And then that went from every time he see me, it was always an issue. He always had something to say when he see me. And it's like, he didn't think I was going to understand it. Like, I understand, like, when people are being petty and they try to use psychology to get inside their head or just do petty things to irritate you when they observe what irritates you.
Baiting you.
Yeah, you know? So he did that to me. And he gave me enough rope to hang myself because I was a kid. I commit. He gave me the rope and I took it. And he seen what got me angry. So when he used that against me, I didn't know no better. So I went for it. And next thing you know, I was suspended from school for another week or two. And it got to the point he kicked me out of his class. And the dean made me I guess they rearranged my schedule, so I had to go to another teacher class. And she didn't like me either because the reason I was there, because my other English teacher said he couldn't handle me. So she sent me there, and already she got had to with me. For Lord knows why. I never spoke to a lady a day in my life. And I walk in, and she just, you know, being reckless. And I just felt like it was wrong, you know. And eventually, like, my actions kept getting to further consequences from being suspended. And I got expelled. And when I got expelled, I went to my first behavior school was Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Morris, and right there, it's just like, they literally don't care. Like, it's just like, they just don't care. Like, at least at some schools, like, they might have not cared about me, but they care about some other kids. You get me? Like,
yeah.
Although I wasn't, like, you could see, like, you could tell, you know, like, if you're a kid, let's say you got two kids, and one kid always getting candy, you see that person care about the kids, they just don't care about that kid necessarily. You feel me? And I was a kid that they didn't care about. So when I go, I felt a little more at ease because, like, it was no, like, oh, like why he getting, you feel me? Like, why he getting privileges? Why you bringing in snacks for everybody but me?
Right.
You know? And so it was there. It was like, I was a little more, you know, at ease. But just like they didn't care about the kids. They didn't care about their jobs either, you know? So at Morris, it was just like, it was just reckless, you know? Like, nobody care. Teachers cuss at you, fights every day. And they'll get disrespectful with you, you know? And I remember one time I came into my first beer teacher class and I refused to do an assignment. He just told me, just like, you're just never going to be sick. I was just like, oh, well, you know, like, that's tough. It's tough. Don't phase anymore. Like, I don't heard that enough. Like, every teacher I met done told me that, you know. So I was just like, oh, well. And then he tried to go on with worse things, talking about, like, you know, how I look, the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I hold myself. He's like, you just going to be, watch, you end up in prison. They would always tell me that. They always said, you just going to end up in prison. You just going to be locked up or dead. I'm like, oh, well, like, there ain't nothing much you can say to that besides, oh, well, I'll be locked up or dead. Like, what are you going to say when someone tell you that? So I was like, oh, well, and, you know, over there, just like, it wasn't just one teacher. It was all the teachers. They didn't really care. You know, like, they literally just didn't care, you know. I was just like, oh, well, went about it. I kind of fit in there because I was with a whole bunch of other people who didn't care.
Right.
So I finally get released from that behavior school. And I go to Harney, which is over there on by Hollywood. And I go there, and I'm enrolled in that school for about 10 days. And I get suspended like my first week. Cause I walk into class, and I guess just my persona, just the way I dress, the way my face looked, was just an angry person, just agitated. But that's just how my face looked, you know, like I just looked like this. And my teacher would tell me, he's like, why the hell are you looking at me like that? I was like, sir, I just look like this. He's like, yeah, you think you're hard because you just went to Morris and got out of that school? I'm like, I don't think I'm nothing. I'm just another kid at this school. He's like, why are you here? I'm like, because I got to be. He's like, you might as well just go to prison now. I was just like, this guy, you know, like, ain't really much you can say. Like, I kind of think of nothing to say to that. I'm like, oh, well. But it's just like, it's those words that you always remember because that's kind of where I ended up, you know? Like, so it's like, I don't know. It's like someone tell you, like, oh, watch, you're going to regret that. And then later on, after you make that action, now you regret it and you just think about it. And just there's certain things that just stuck. And just like, I went there and all my teachers just had a bad assumption on me because the way, like, I mean, you could look your school record up on Infinite Campus, I guess. And I mean, I have got like written up so many times, like a lot, like anything you could think of. And then all the teachers, they just like will always think I was bad as hell. And I went with the intention to just lay low. And that didn't work out because I remember one time I was in class. And damn near the same scenario happened when my English teacher had told me I didn't have a pencil that day. I remember I didn't have a pencil. And she said, give me your left shoe and I'll let you borrow a pencil. I'm like,
some humiliation tactics.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, why the hell am I giving you my left shoe? It's like, give me your left shoe and I'll give you a pencil. I'm like, nah, like, you know, like, fuck your work then, you know? And she started like, use that against me, you know, got on my buttons. I let it get the best of me, and I started talking, and I was like, all right, whatever. I'm not about to argue with a grown-ass woman. Like, you irrelevant. Because that's just what I did when I was angry, because I was mad. I don't like to disrespect females, so it's like I'd rather just cut the conversation than to argue. So I tried to cut it, but her being petty, I had left the class. I came back the next day, and she told me I couldn't be in her class. I was like, for what? I didn't even do nothing yet. The bell rang. I walked in the class. She said, get out. I said, for what? I didn't do nothing yet. She's like, get out. I'm like, what am I doing? Can you tell me what I'm doing? I'll happily leave your class. Tell me why I'm getting kicked out for. Like, I'm on a behavior contract. You feel me? I'm on probation. I'm getting choked by my PO for this type of stuff. And she just didn't give me a reason. I didn't want to go to the dean's office because I didn't want to get in trouble. So I left. And I went back to her class the next day. She told me the same thing. Don't come in my class. I don't want you in here no more. I was like, where am I supposed to go? I don't care. You're not going to pass this class either way. Go. I was like, all right. So I just started ditching. I was like, F her, right? And she has a little teacher friend that got an attitude with me because I got an attitude in his class. And he told me, he's like, you're not about to disrespect me. How you disrespect her? I said, I don't mean nothing. Like, I bleed how you bleed. And he got an attitude with me. That turned out of pocket. And then he didn't want me in his class no more either. So I just kind of felt like I should just, like, what else is there to do? You know, I kind of just didn't. I kind of gave up. You know, I was like, oh, well, I got to my head, like, oh, well, school just, it's just not for me. I was only out of school for 10 days and all that happened. You know, like, I had got suspended, like, my first week. And I was just like, oh, well. Then I ended up getting expelled from there. Then I went to Washington Continuation when that was still open.
Was this, so this is all middle school, high school at this point?
This was just all middle school.
Okay. So I'm just, I don't mean to cut you off, but it seems like this pattern, this continued on through high school as well. Oh, so that's just middle school. So, like, this is a lot. I just need a moment to process it. As an educator, this is horrifying. As a person of color, this is horrifying. It sounds to me like you came into places with your story already written.
People will often say, oh, well, you know, what about the teacher's story, right? I feel like we don't get to listen to the student's story. And I think this is why it's so important to give them a platform, to give a platform to students like my brother, to share their story, to share their truth so that these so the teachers get better training, so that we do better as educators.
I agree. And what I'm, because what I'm not hearing, and I think it's important to say, is a lack of accountability mm-hmm. on Ruben's behalf. You're not saying like all these things happened to me and, you know, my attitude was chipper. You know, you're sitting here and you're saying like, you know, a lot of my actions were reactions and I did some things that were incorrect. But I also feel like I was baited into these things because people didn't like me. And I'm hearing a lot of it seemed like it was me versus them.
I mean, it kind of get like that because at Hardy, it's like I was like the only kid that, like that was brown in the classroom. You know, you and a whole lot of, you know, just white kids, teacher white, you kind of stand out. Especially yeah. like, they're already going to look at you like you bad. And when they got the evidence behind it that you bad, you bad to them.
Without the context.
Right. It's right. Like, all they need to see is like, they don't see if you're trying to prosper. I mean, I ain't going to lie. At the time, I wasn't trying to prosper. But still, at the end of the day, like, you create a self-judgment on me before you even met me, you know?
So why should you care?
Right.
You at know? That point, it seems like your story's already written.
Everywhere I go, it's going to be the same thing. Everywhere I go, they don't got to know me. They still going to be like, He's a bad kid. They're not gonna know. He loves his family. He do this. He actually wants something better for his life. The only reason he asked school is because he low key actually want to graduate, but they don't see that point, you know. Especially right. when the odds are against you, because it's just like, I mean, you stand, like I said, you stand out in a group of white people, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean that makes absolute sense, and I think that it's very easy to see one portion of the story. I think. You know, being an educator, it's very easy to lean on the word of another educator, right? Someone that you've built a bond with and a trust with, because we don't necessarily want to see these inherent implicit biases in other people. But we don't always recognize like what's happening for things to show up the way that they're showing up. And for me, this is horrifying. For me personally, I identify as a very spiritual person. And I think that my spirituality informs even my own pedagogy. And to hear you're not going to be shit, you ain't shit. I'm like, you're speaking a curse on his life at this point. And you've written a story, which is basically like you're self-fulfilling this boy's prophecy before he even gets there. Like he's like, how do you even begin to combat that? And I think the thing to take away from this is that you're not very, how old are you? Right. So you're 18. Yeah. So this is a very recent story. And not only is it a very recent story, it's a common story, which is horrifying when you consider, again, the demographics of CCSD and CCSD students. That was a very long conversation that just happened. You're telling your story, and then you tell me that that's middle school. How many high schools did you go through?
4, 5, 6. I mean, 16 high schools, 2 regular high schools, and then all the rest were just like juveniles.
And did you finish or did you get some sort of a high school equivalency?
No, I'm actually currently enrolled at the Pines with an anticipated graduation date of May 25th.
Okay, awesome. Great. Congratulations. So good for you. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to give you, because, you know, that shows incredible, I think, resilience on your behalf, although I do have some critiques around Black and brown people having to practice such resiliency. We like to, like, congratulate each other on that, but not talk about the implications of having to be that. I think it shows resiliency on, like, your behalf, on your family's behalf. I'm going to guess your family's supporting you. I know your brother, so I know what type of person that he is, but not every student is going to have that, you know, that emotional support, familial support to kind of get through and continue to do these things. And even hearing you talking about it and still going forth and going forward, like that's very powerful. I'm like speechless right now.
Listening to my brother's story.
Yeah.
Makes, like, he's one of my inspirations of becoming an educator.
Yeah.
I became a teacher because but the reality is that also I faced as a student when I was also baited by some of my racist teachers. I had this racist science teacher that would target brown students. I remember one time he sent me to the principal's office for taking out a chocolate in class when the rest of the class was eating. And I went to the principal, who was a Latino. And I told him, yo, like, he's targeting us, he's being racist to us, you know? And of course, I was a high school student, I didn't have all the fancy language, so you know, the principal.
Of course, yeah.
And the principal told me to sit down and shut up. So I wanted to become that educator that gives a fuck about our students.
Right.
Sure, you know, we made mistakes. My brother made mistakes, but he was held accountable.
And he was a child.
He was held accountable. Who's going to hold accountable the teachers that failed him?
Exactly.
Who's going to hold accountable the system that failed him and the people that are profiting off the incarceration of people like him?
Exactly.
You know, who's going to be held accountable for pushing him out of the system, for not giving him the services that he needed, that he was entitled to?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that that's often left out of the conversation because we are in this culture of let's hold the students accountable. Oh, you know, and I understand teachers, we go through a lot. I understand that teachers in other schools are not, in most of our schools are not paid well enough and are overworked. But that's not an excuse to be racist. That's not an excuse to be so problematic and to tell a student that they will never amount to anything. That's not you being overworked. That's just you being an ass, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I had issues with in college, right? That survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Especially definitely. When we took the class about the school to prison pipeline, because I was like, my siblings are going through all this stuff. Why not me, you know?
Yeah.
How come I got that access, right? But that gives you a sense of responsibility, right?
Definitely.
This is why we need to be the educators that we needed in high school. And it makes me so proud that in spite of the system of this beast that is the school to prison pipeline, being against my brother, I know that my brother is protected by his ancestors. I know that my brother, you know, stands on the shoulders of giants. Is protected by Orisha, by our people, and I know that he will succeed. And I know that you will succeed.
Absolutely.
And
breaking that curse and speaking blessings. You will succeed.
I am moved, I am heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because I knew my brother went through it, you know? But I think this is the first time where I'm understanding the extent.
The gravity of it is, yes. Yeah. And how insidious the targeting, you know? And I think that it is just a disservice to be like, you know, folks are just not well prepared. I think that's a portion of it, of course. Again, a lot of the teacher base does not at all look like the student base. But the fact that Black and Brown students are going through it a heck of a lot more than their white counterparts, right? And I'm like, the lack of recognition around that, to me, there's not enough ignorance. And at some point, it has to be something that's willful. It's not all just, you know, whatever. There has to be some serious work that's done on behalf of these students. And I think that we have to be very careful and intentional in how we define the role of an educator, right? And what it means to be an educator advocate, ally, whatever you want to call it, accomplice, whatever you want to call it, how we define ourselves as educators, but who are POC educators, right? And what our roles have to be, because there's just so much more work that has to be done. I think coming from us, which is unfortunate because I think we bear the brunt of a lot of this work to begin with, but disrupting that sort of thing, right? It can't just be a 9-to-5. You know, it can't just be that student's bad and this student's good, right?
There are no bad students. Exactly. There are students that have bad days.
Exactly.
But there are no bad students. And every student has potential.
Exactly.
Where we have to work on is access.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone has potential, but we don't always have the same access.
That is absolutely correct. I think I would say for me, that holds very correct. My experience is definitely on the other side of a lot of that. I moved around a lot as a kid. I came to Nevada my freshman year of high school, the end of middle school, and my experience has changed very much. I think whereas a lot of students, their experience was very adversarial, mine was very affirming, but in the wrong ways, right? And I internalized it, and it was made for me to seem like I was special because I was the one Black student in the AP classes, mm-hmm. and I was made to feel very special and very smart and this and that. And I internalized a lot of negative perceptions of the students who looked like me but weren't where I was, right? And it wasn't until much later that I began to understand and recognize that they were using me as a tool of sort of respectability. Exactly, to sustain the lie. And it wasn't that I was necessarily smarter, although I'm not saying that I'm not brilliant because I know I am. right, I wasn't necessarily smarter. I wasn't necessarily more hardworking and X, Y, and Z things, right? I had just managed to tap into certain things and they decided I was the model and we ran with it, right? So it's definitely, we have to change the way that we decide we want to engage with students in the classroom, the way we want to educate our educators, right, around getting in the classroom so that we learn to disrupt these things. Because as I stated earlier, I tend to be more of the Michelle Alexander's sort of like league of thought around the school to prison pipeline, in that I think it's a lot bit more insidious. Then people are simply just ignorant, right? Michelle Alexander's book talks about the school to prison pipeline being part of three-tiered caste system, right? As a means of social control for persons of colors, as a means of exploitation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that holds very true when we look at the rates of incarcerated, who's incarcerated for what, and then the privatization of incarceration. I think it all links together. And we have to stop letting folks commoditize the bodies of our children.
Exactly.
You cannot build whatever on top of the bodies of our children, of our brothers or sisters, our little people, whatever. It cannot continue to persist because that's horrifying. And he's surviving, right? But that's not something he should have to survive through. And we have to bring that to an end. Let me think. We're getting towards the 30-ish minute mark. I think we can probably talk a little bit more about this if we'd like to.
Can you tell us about your future plans? I know that you're considering going to college. Can you speak us to some of your plans for the future?
My plans for the future is, first off, I graduate high school this month, so that's already going to be that. I filled out my FAFSA and I already applied for college, so that's going to be for sure. And as soon as I graduate high school, I intend to go to labor union, because not only does it have benefits, but it has good money, you know, something to support my own living while I'm going through college. And I want to go to college for fitness. I just feel I've always been a hustler, you know, like I've always been able to, you know, I just always haven't been able to speak, you know, like I feel like I just, you know, like ain't too much different from like white people selling houses to people, you know, like me selling other things. So I just feel like it's just a legal version of that. You know, everybody got talent. You know, I just feel like maybe that's one of mine. I want to go to business. I feel like I'm tired of just, you know, being treated as just a worker. I don't want to be a manager. I want to be the owner. You know, I don't want to just be an employee. I want to be the owner. So I feel like I intend to open a couple businesses. And my main business I would like to open, I like to open a mentoring thing for the youth. And I like to open a barbershop and a tattoo shop. And thus, so far for my future, I intend to get that done by the time I'm at least in my 30s. I intend to at least have one business open, because college is going to take about 7 years to try to get everything so I can be a business owner, business licenses and all that. And I'll be saving up from while I'm getting paid in the labor union. And that's my intentions for the future.
I think it makes me so proud, and I think it's so empowering that although my brother went through this experience where he was constantly turned down by teachers, he envisions a space where he can empower others.
Definitely. And I think it's absolutely admirable. And I'm so excited to hear your plans, but I do want to challenge you. I don't think it's that you couldn't speak. I think it's that people refuse to listen to or hear your words as legitimate because they didn't show up in a way that they decided was valid, right? You can speak. You have a voice. It's a powerful voice, but they didn't want to hear it because it wasn't a truth that they prescribed to, right? But we hear you, and we believe in you. And we believe that that you're going to do everything that you set your mind to and everything that you said that you're going to do because you survived. Not everybody got to be here. Not everybody got to do it, but you survived. And just thank you for coming and sharing your story. I know that's not easy. I know it's not easy to take accountability of some of the things you felt were shortcomings for yourself. I know it's not easy to talk about these things because people might be quick to say, you know, maybe you're lazy. Maybe you're antagonizing people. Maybe you did X, Y, and Z, but it's your truth. And we believe your truth. So just thank you for being here with us.
Yeah. And this is close of first episode of the podcast Manolo Los Domingos. I know it's we live on a high note, which is, you know, we will keep fighting this problematic racist system, and we will open those barbershops, we will open those spaces for communities to keep thriving and growing. And reclaiming.
We'll create those third spaces.
Agency,
exactly. Right? Exactly. Thank you all for listening in. Please continue to kind of like bear with us as we fiddle around with the format of this show and come in with new and differing and varying topics. We'd like to give a shout out to Ahas. Because we have some folks there who are supporting us and they wanted a shout out. What does Ahas stand for?
Material arts and academics, and I don't know what the S scholar something.
We love y'all. Y'all are great. Thank you so much. Yes, definitely.
For creating a podcast. And shout out to all the bad educators who are doing the work. Just as there are educators that need work. And if you're one of those educators that needs work, and you're one of those educators that made a mistake, and you want to grow, and you want to change, and you want to learn, reach out. You know, we're happy to stand by you and to help you grow.
Might shade you a little bit.
Just a little bit, you know.
But it's part of your growth. You better learn. Take the critique, bitch. It'll be fine. You'll love and you'll survive. And lastly, I think we just want to shout out to those students whose stories are not heard. You know, to everybody who resonates with this story, this is for you. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're signing off. Thank you very much.
Adios.
Adios.